Praise the Lord. You know, when I look around, I see so many questions. When I look around, I see so many questions. A lot of whys, a few wheres, who. The who's are quite a number, What? Praise the Lord. Everything is going to be just fine. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. Everything is going to be just fine. Why, when, where, who, everything is going to be just fine. Today the Lord has something for you. A word in season. Psalm 37, verse 25. Psalm 37 and verse 25. This is your word for the season. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Amen. And God is not starting with you. Amen. He is not going to start forsaking the righteous with you. Praise the Lord. It says, from the time I was young, to the time I became old, I'd never seen a righteous person forsaken. And the righteousness there is in relation to the righteousness of Christ and not yours. Because ours is like filthy rags, the Bible says. That's your word for the season. But, give me Psalms. Psalms 25 and verse 4. Yeah, that's it. It says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. That is a prayer that David made when he was in a circumstance where he needed to learn the ways of God so that he did not react contrary to the way God wanted him to. And so he says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Life has patterns. Life has patterns. Life has patterns. Patterns. Life has timings. Life has illusions. And life has lessons. I want you to pay very close attention to me. Life has patterns. A lot in our life or in our lives is patterned in a particular way. There are things in the lives of men and in the universe as a whole that constantly repeat themselves. Constantly. So right now in the life, in all these lives that are here, there are unique events that constantly repeat themselves. Before I even go to the events themselves, your body has a pattern. There are things about your body that repeat themselves. So for example, you might not know, but the speed at which you walk determines the heart rate. The heart rate then determines your breathing. Your breathing helps determine the flow of the blood. Flow of the blood, your entire body is an instrument. And it's literally moving according to a rhythm. You know? So your entire body has rhythm, it has patterns. When you increase the way you walk, the heart rate increases, the blood flow increases, your breathing increases, your blinking goes according to how you're breathing. So everything is going according to a particular pattern. To such an extent, and I've already said this before, that human beings are instruments of God. And because they're instruments of God, just like in Scripture, when the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, give me verse 7, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 7. Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? So there are things on the face of this earth that make sounds. They have distinctions of sounds. Human beings are one of them. You are an instrument. Just like here, the keyboard is an instrument that creates a tune. A guitar is an instrument that creates a tune. A trombone, a trumpet all create tunes, and each plays a role in creating an atmosphere. In the same way, every human is an instrument that creates a tune, that creates an atmosphere. Amen. Every human. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you with me?
Yes.
So you're an instrument. A non-believer is out of tune. Eh? Okay. So your life, your body creates a pattern. Okay? Life has a pattern attached to it. The universe itself has a pattern. Please listen to me. The universe has a pattern. It has a set of things that repeat themselves. Of all the subjects that you learned in school, physics, chemistry, biology, so on, they are all spiritual. But the most spiritual subject is math. Okay, now. The most spiritual subject is math. The entire math is the language of patterns. I hate math. And here I am. Math is a language of patterns and sequences. And yet the entire universe is a mixture of numbers collecting themselves to make a message. Okay. Not all numbers are the same. Just like not all men are the same. You can just think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 are just numbers. But in the spirit, if you look even in the Bible, there are numbers that are special. Not just because they have specific patterns to them. There's a reason why 7 is special to the Lord and 6 is not and 13 is not. But 12 is. Can I go a bit deeper? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. The entire universe is patterned after numbers, and God did it on purpose. So take for example, science shows, and these are spiritual numbers. There are numbers that are spiritual and there are numbers that are not. They're just numbers. There are numbers. If you got flowers and you counted the petals on flowers, any flower. Flowers have specific number of petals. 3, 1, 2, 5, 8, 13, 24, they're all numbers. They're called the Fibonacci numbers. Ever heard of Fibonacci? No one has ever heard of it. Fibonacci numbers means that science studied and realized that they're numbers that replicate themselves all over the earth and they create what we know as life. So I walked outside my house and I got a tree, I don't know what it is because it's not a flower. What is it? No. We don't have shrubs at my place, please. Get behind me. Okay. Anyway. What is it?
A plant.
So, okay, let's be safe. Let's say plant. So I get this plant and I count. And I realize, I think I misquoted the Fibonacci numbers. So the way Fibonacci numbers are created is that you find they start with 0 plus 1 is what? 1 plus 1 is? 2 plus 1 is? 3. 3 plus 2 is? 5. 5 plus 3, is 8. So you keep on adding, and as the numbers grow, you find that they're connected to each other. And so nature arranges itself according to those numbers. So you'll find that the petals on a flower are either 2, 3, 5, 8, 13. You understand? I'm confusing you guys. So God put numbers on earth. Okay? Ever ask yourself that no matter how tall a tree grows, no matter how many branches it has, it doesn't fall over. Okay, you guys don't think like me, eh? It doesn't fall over. And the reason is because every single branch will never be outside those Fibonacci numbers. So there will either be 2, 3, 5, 13. I don't even... my Lord. Okay, Barese, okay. And here I was thinking I would never teach math anywhere. So Fibonacci numbers are spiritual to such an extent that people who are spiritual, both in the occult and in the divine, know how to use these numbers to create messages, to create atmospheres, to bring things to come across. Eh? They know how to use these numbers. For you, a number is just number 1, number 2, number 3. Praise the Lord. Life has patterns. The universe itself has patterns. Praise the living God. When you look at the stars, every star is where it is. It is positioned where it is to create and produce a message. To you, you just look, you just see a star. Every star is where it is And that's how people come up with constellations. Because you look and you say, how does this creator bear? Huh? But there are sequences of stars that have been put in specific places to the extent that the entire universe is a basket of speech, but using numbers. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the living God.
Amen.
Life has patterns. There are, I found, let me get a scripture. Romans 1:20. I want to bring across something. So, if something as simple as nature has patterns attached to it, if your body has patterns attached to them, is it possible that they're all following a simple law? The thing that has been is the thing that shall be. There is nothing new under the sun. Everything is repeating itself. You know stars die? Oh my God, today, people are looking at me and saying yes. Stars die. I am of the notion that every single star in the sky is a representation of a being. Okay. And so when someone here leaves the earth, stars die. Okay. And because some stars are billions of years old, your life did not start here. Am I just speaking Bible? So when we say you're a star, you've been a star since you came, eh? Praise the Lord. Romans 1:20. So life has patterns, eh? Let's read together. Huh? Okay, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. And he says, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So what God is saying here is that there are things in nature, if we paid close attention to the patterns of nature, if you paid close attention to your neighbor, you would learn something about God. Yes? That means that if I was very conscious and aware, it is possible for me on a lower level to know the ways of God by simply observing life. You with me?
Yes.
Now, that's a lower level, because on a higher level, the Bible says Jesus is speaking to a man called Nicodemus. John 3:27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. Okay? Now, this is what it means. Eh? It means that while on a lower level, I can observe the earth and learn things from God, there are things I cannot receive unless God gives them to me. Eh? That's why men in science study the patterns of life. They look and look but can't see. Because a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. That is a principle law. So, life has patterns. Huh? Your life has patterns. There are things about your life since the day began that have been repeating themselves. There are people in your life that come after a period of time, they come back. Okay? There are cycles of behavior in families. The Bible says of Abraham that he lies about Sarah. Isaac lies about Rebekah. Jacob lies to steal a blessing. There are cycles of behavior in families. They could be bad cycles or good ones. Because while this guy is passing on lying, eh? He's also passing on wealth. So, Abraham is wealthy, Isaac is wealthy, Jacob is wealthy. All different dimensions of wealth, but passed on. So there are cycles of behavior, things that can be passed on. You know, money can be passed on in a bloodline? And so can poverty. But that's not your... Secondly, life has timings. It has timings. There are things in your life that you can make, by the grace of God, you can make them come quicker. There are things in life, whether you meant it or not, that you can delay. There are things in life that the spirit world set a time regulation. You can't quicken them. You can't delay them. They have an appointed time. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible says of a man, actually, the Bible says Genesis, Father, remind me. Give me Genesis 18, verse 14. I don't know why I'm picking 24. Okay. Sarah is doubting the Lord. Says she's going to have a baby. The Lord replies, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." You with me? Genesis 21 verse 1. "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said." This is one of the most encouraging scriptures in the Bible. And I read it every time I feel something has delayed. I go to Genesis 18, 14. I say, "You said at an appointed time I'll return." Then I go to 21. "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had..." Put your name. Give me verse 2. Give me verse 2. "For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him." If something in your life is delaying, that's a scripture you should read constantly. Just say, put there your name. You say, "And I got a prophetic word. I'm going to get married in June." Then you say, "And the Lord remembered." Put your name. If you're below 20, please. Okay? So, life has specific timings. They're landmarks. The Bible says that when Jesus came, he came and died at just the right time. The Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died. At the appointed time. So, there are landmarks in your life. Life has timings. There are things you cannot rush. Even if you tried. You know where we're going. So, life has patterns. It has timings. It has illusions. Life has illusions. Nothing is always what it appears. The most important gifting in this season is the gift of discerning spirits. And I was explaining to two gentlemen yesterday that time is a spirit. Time is a spirit, and it needs to be discerned. Praise the Lord. The Bible says we no longer regard men according to the flesh. That means when you come and approach me, it's not just because you're looking good. I need to see beyond the flesh and see the spirit of the thing. Okay? So life has illusions. One of the biggest illusions is in the church. Many of you probably were born, apart from a few people but many of you are born into Christian families. And so you've been going to church since Sunday school. And so you've been listening to sermons since Sunday school. And you've been changing churches left and right, left and right, left and right. And so it's easy, especially if you're called to ministry, for you to say, "I've had this before." It's an illusion in the spirit. It's a lie. The Bible says, "Ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth." Because truth in the spirit is not knowledge in the head. It is becoming it. I was telling my partners the other day that there was a scripture a few years ago. I had debt, a lot of debt. And there's a scripture that I meditated upon. "Owe no man any debt except the debt of love." Always meditated on that one scripture. Until today, I have zero debt. Zero. I owe no man anything except the debt. Life has illusions. Now, I'm getting somewhere with this. Take me back to Romans 1:20. Romans 1:20. Start from verse 18, actually. Start from verse 18. Thank you, Lord. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Now, the wrath of God is not revealed from heaven to you, eh? Because the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, I think it's 2 Thessalonians, it says that there's no wrath unto you, eh? You are his children. But for the other chaps, eh? The wrath is revealed from heaven. Then it says, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, it is actually possible for you to suppress truth. This is where this now applies to you, in unrighteousness. It is very possible. So we stand up, and when I'm talking about giving, someone is thinking, "Ah, he wants our money." We talk about prophecy, and you say, "Ah, witchcraft." We dress smart, you say, "Ah, proud." You can suppress truth in unrighteousness because every single one of those are biblical. Next verse 19. I want to show you. This is the issue with the church, actually. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Verse 21. It says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. It is actually possible for you to come sit in fellowship every week, see me picking out someone and prophesying, and you reach a place where it's numb to you. Though you know God, you don't glorify him. Yeah, my God. I'm stepping on toes today. No, I'm not. You guys don't do that stuff. Huh? Though you know God, you don't glorify him as such. This. The Bible says in the book of Titus, it says to the pure, I think it's Timothy actually, to the pure, all things are pure. That means if I have a right mindset about something, I'll always see the way God wants me to see. But if your mindset is wrong, so for example, let me tell you a spiritual principle, and it's true. If your perception of God about something is wrong, everything in line with that perception will be wrong. So, if you think God is angry with you, when you go through trouble, God is angry with me. When they break up with you, God is angry with me. Everything, God, when you're broke, God is angry with me. And so because you perceived God wrong, everything else is wrong. Praise the Lord. Amen. Life has illusions. Which brings me then to what the Lord wants to share. John 14:16. I'm going to base on that. Eh? So life has illusions. So consider for a fact. Let me give you examples now to bring it home. A couple has been dating for years. Dating for years. The day they decide to get married, they start fighting. Do you think that's by coincidence? Let me bring it even closer. A couple has been cohabiting. Literally almost acting like husband and wife. Everything seems to be fine. Until the day they decide they want to get married. Do you think that's coincidence? Right now you're listening to my ministration. Do you think that's coincidence? Someone told you come for fellowship. Or maybe you were passing by and had nothing to do. Do you think that's coincidence? Do you think things just happen? The person that you sit next to. Let me keep quiet. Do you think that's coincidence?
No.
So life has patterns, it has illusions, it has timings. But life definitely does not have coincidences.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. Now, I want to encourage you to stretch yourself to the possibilities of God. Because I want you, there's a scripture I was reading one time, and many of you will connect to what I'm saying. There's a scripture in Corinthians, it says, for the Spirit of God searches all things, yea, even the deep things of God. Now, what it actually means is that the Spirit of God searches all things. That's one category. Then there's another category of things he searches, the deep things of God. Now, when you read scripture, don't just read it like that and think that's it. There's a day I was at home and I lost my keys. And so, and many of you have been there, you look the entire house, you're not seeing the keys. The moment you stop and say, Lord, please help me get this key, you find them. Because the Spirit searches all. Praise the Lord. That is taking a scripture home. You're leaving it. You're not leaving it on the page. I'm trying to show you some of the things that some of us do. That he searches all things. Someone has come to you and they're telling you, I love you. Don't come and don't look for Rabbi and say, Rabbi, does this guy love me? You say, the Spirit searches all things. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. So you just imagine the things that we think are just happening behind the scenes. They're just happening randomly. I need you to understand, and I'm going to show you at the end, because you see, in order to live a certain quality of life, you need to learn to be excellent in interpreting life right. You need to learn to live a certain quality of spiritual life. You need to learn to be excellent in how you interpret the things that happen around you. Okay? You don't just lose a job. You've been going around saying, oh my God, I have no food, I have no food, I have no food. Someone sends you money on mobile money. Then you start going around saying how that person is a good guy. Then you come back, but I don't know where the Lord is. And many of you know what I'm talking about. Huh? The Bible says, do not be deceived. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. That means no one just sends you rent. No one just sends you mobile money. No one just gives you a lift. No one just encourages you. You must learn to interpret life rightly. That there are circumstances that come in your life to show you who's for you. That someone, God forbid, someone, it could be your wedding day or your wedding season, and God is revealing to you your friends. And nothing reveals friends like weddings. You guys, you send messages, people act like they don't remember you, eh? They see you coming that side, they pass this other side because of money. There are circumstances that come orchestrated divinely so that you can see the true nature of a person. Praise the Lord. It happens in choirs. It happens in ministries. It happens at home. It happens. And here's the principle. By the time something passes through God to reach me, it must have a reason why it came. You must learn to interpret life rightly. It must have a reason why it came. By the time it came to me, because I can guarantee you, there are things you might not know, or some which you know, that haven't touched you because of the hedge around you. Huh? Nothing just happens. You must learn to interpret life rightly. God does not just make a particular man of God come and pick you out. What makes one person? It's not about one who's more special than the other. It's about seasons and timings. What makes a man of God, any man of God who's spiritual, come, pick one person out, prophesy, and go to another and says, I need to meet you? Do you honestly think that that's just happened? He just likes you. He thinks you're looking beautiful. Praise the Lord. Amen. There are things that are being orchestrated in the background, but you're not paying attention. Life has patterns. It has timings. It has illusions. There are people, friends, that are there, and they are dark. They come, they lift their hands. And praise the Lord. But the enemy uses them. The Bible says, let us not devour one another. And they've allowed the enemy to use them as an instrument to bring you down. And sometimes the Lord says, you didn't see it, but now this circumstance will reveal it. A woman somewhere, I'm telling you, you need to learn to interpret life. A woman somewhere has been, and I have to use this because it's the easiest to understand. She's dating a guy. In the spirit, God knows that's not her man. But she doesn't know that. Has no access to a prophet, no access to a man of God, doesn't know. She kneels down before God and says, Lord, I want to get married. It's been 5 years of dating. Because by the Spirit, the Lord knows that's not her man. He lifts the hedge, there's a breakup. She's busy crying, not knowing that the Lord is aligning her to her prayer. Now, are you getting what I'm saying? That's the place of John. Please take me back. John 16, John 14. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. Now, there is what we call the Spirit of truth. And here this scripture says he can be seen, and he also can be known. The Spirit of truth is not knowledge. The Spirit of truth is the ability to look at a contrary situation and see God's finger in it. Amen. Hey! Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So someone kneels down and says, Lord, take me deeper, bring me closer to you. A few weeks later, the entire world is going upside down. And you say, where is the Lord? Where is the Lord? The ability to connect what you requested with the circumstance. That is the Spirit of truth. It's actually the ministration of the Spirit of truth. Someone is about to fly, maybe, wait, give me a country. I won't say Sweden, those guys are badly off. Let's use Brexit. You're about to go to UK. Okay? You're about to go to UK. The Lord has told you to transplant yourself that side. Your life is there. Then you kneel down and pray. Oh no, I'm going to be away from fellowship. That place is badly off. Lord, I pray, please build something in me so that I don't fall over there. You apply for the visa, refused. The same God who told you you're leaving is now aligning life to your request. Hey! The ability to look at a situation and interpret it rightly. The Bible says, actually not even before we go to the Bible, let me give you another example, may I?
Yes.
You're about to get out of the house. You're late for work. All of a sudden you're looking for your keys, you can't see your keys. You can't seem to discern that there is something about this that is delaying me for a reason. And so you sit down, complain, you can't leave, you order for an Uber, the app is not working. I'm telling you, you guys, I'm telling you. I'll show you at the end what the Lord actually, because you see the thing is this. One of the ways in which the Lord allows us to discern life rightly is what they call knowings. God puts knowings in your spirit. A knowing, I was explaining to a few guys, a knowing is something, is a light that just flashes before you. You don't hear a voice, you just know. So someone comes before you and just say, this guy is a thief. You're jumping on a border, you just feel, this guy is a thief. The thing with knowings is that they come once, if you don't move with it, they don't repeat themselves. The largest percentage of God's messages to Christians are knowings. So you walk into a room and you know, you feel, people have been talking about me. You didn't hear a voice, you didn't what? And the reason for that is because words are spirit. Even when you aren't there, they float. So you walk in, and but why do I feel like you guys have been talking about me? One time I gave an example. I would talk about my brother here a lot. I reach home, he's not a Christian, reach home and he says, I feel like you put me in your sermons a lot. Eh? I feel you're using me a lot as an example. I say, yee, now we're eating. So the Lord uses knowings, puts them in your spirit. Somehow knowings come to show your season has changed. You've been comfortable in a house. Then all of a sudden, I feel like I should shift. I don't have the money. What do I do? The knowing shows you that the season has come. The next thing you're supposed to do after a knowing is to prepare yourself for the signs that come that accompany it. So God uses number one, knowings. Then he also uses what I call the inner voice. Inner voice is different from unknowing. Unknowing is aligned to intuition. An inner voice is the language of your thoughts. So God uses your language, the way you speak in your mind to yourself, to tell you something. That's why one person will say, "Oh Lord, thou art great. Thy bellows." Another person saying, "Oh Lord, what's up, man? What's happened?" Same God speaking to the same people, different people, eh? But using their language. That's the inner voice. If your inner voice has not been attached to God, if you haven't been having a relationship with God, the enemy can also use it to condemn you. Well, praise the Lord. It's the same inner voice that tells you, "But man, I'm a billionaire." Huh? The same inner voice that makes you look in the mirror and say, "This nose is big, but the it's made exactly how the Lord wants it to be." I was telling someone that if you go for plastic surgery, your spirit doesn't have plastic surgery. So when you get out of your body, the nose will still be. Oh, the Lord. So you're trying to change the physical appearance, forgetting that you're a spirit being. So God will use knowings, then he will use your inner voice in the language that you understand. Then the Lord will use signs. Signs are interesting because when the Lord uses signs, he uses signs in different ways, different methods, different things to get you to understand. Now, there are certain signs that the Lord uses that you are not ready to see because your vessel, you as a vessel, needs to be extended and grown to be able to capture such signs. So I'll give an example. There's a day I saw a man, I said it here sometime, I saw a man who everyone considers to be, you know, serious chap. And I passed by him and I saw two snakes around his feet. And instantly I interpreted what it meant. But you probably would not see that. Because, first of all, you might be messed up. So surely this man, oh my God, surely you don't sleep. For us, we see and we say, "Yep, thought so." And so because your vessel has not been, that's why Jesus said, "I have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them." There are things you cannot bear, so your eyes cannot see them. There's a lady I know actually seated in this room whose eyes opened one time to see angels and started screaming, "Take it away, take it away." Now you are there, like, "Yeah, I don't want to see demons. I want to see angels." Thinking that seeing angels is somehow much easier, eh? But the power and the glory that comes from seeing a being you've never seen before. The Bible says all these guys that saw these people just fell down. And you're thinking, "Yeah, I just want to see it." This one sees an angel and says, "Oh my God, take this thing away." So God grows the vessel. There are signs you cannot see simply because you as a vessel have not grown. Eh? So God uses knowings. Uses what? An inner voice. He uses signs. The sun doesn't just set and rise. Meteorites don't just fall from the sky. You don't just be standing out one night and you see something flashing across the sky. Things don't just happen. Eclipses don't just happen on the day that they do. Stop taking things by chance. And so once you learn to start to be conscious of certain things, you start to realize the things that change around you. Notice that when you buy the red dress, you notice everyone else has a red dress. And yet you're thinking, "Did they just copy me? But they were wearing red dresses all the time." The day you buy that super shoe that no one else, you're thinking, "I'm going to show guys." You start to see people with a shoe. Somehow, because you brought yourself into the consciousness of the thing, and you determine the signs that you see by your consciousness. So, I'll give you an example. When I walk into a room like this, the first thing I want to see is not about who do I prophesy to. That's not the first thing I look for. It's not the first thing I look for. First thing I look for is where the angels are at. First thing I look for. And we worship until I see them. Ah, okay, that's just me. It doesn't mean if I can't see them, we can't go on, eh? But that's just me. And so God uses signs. God will use symbols and images. Use symbols and images. The image he uses for you is not the same image he uses for her. And so that's why it doesn't make sense to write a dream book and say a cow means this. Because to an Indian, when he dreams, it might be a god. And for you, it might be breakfast. You're eating someone's god. Praise the Lord. Okay? So the Lord uses signs. Now, this is why I need you to understand that the Spirit of, and this is what the Spirit wants to get you to a place to understand, that there is what we call the Spirit of Truth, the ability for you to go through hell, high water, and see God's finger. Every time you can interpret God in a situation that seems contrary, you grow in rank. I know what I'm talking about. You grow in rank. Huh? Do you know why the enemy always waits for people who are about to get married to start causing chaos? Because marriage is the greatest symbol of the relationship you have with God. So if you two are just dating, fine. That you say, I want to marry you. Even if you haven't put the ring yet. Just intentional. Certain things come your way that have never been there before. Huh? Praise the Lord. God speaks. The Spirit of truth comes in a situation to show you certain things. Some people can be a man or woman of God in your life until you realize that actually they want. Okay, let me leave it. Until you realize that they want. Huh? So in the Spirit, for example, let me explain. There are people, there are times I will meet a person and the first thing that comes off from me is wealth. Huh? There are people I meet, the first thing that comes is marriage. There are other people I meet, the first thing that comes is, you know, the different things. And somehow people wear garments but don't know they wear them. Garments are worn by what you've meditated upon. Huh? So, it's not bad to want to get married. Of course, it is of the Lord. Okay? It's not bad to want to get wealthy. It is of the Lord. And so, some people I will meet, and I will see it. I will feel it. It's the first thing I feel on a person. And then you look, and the person's saying, "Rabbi, rent." Rabbi, rent. And they are a contradiction of what is upon them. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the living God. Now, life is lived in, life has patterns. And remember when we said life is lived in? Life is lived in levels, experienced in stages, and established in dimensions. Remember when we said that? And so you need to realize that there are things that are going on around your life. Let me give you a spiritual truth. Always remember this. There's what they call the law, I call it the law of equivalent advantage. It's a spiritual law. It says the thing that can bring you down has an equal opportunity to bring you up. Amen. Say amen to that.
Amen.
It's the law of equivalent advantage, and it's a spiritual law. Joseph knew it because he goes through all this stuff. His brothers come before him and he says, what you meant for bad, God meant for good. It's the ability to interpret things rightly.
Amen.
Do you know that in Israel at that time, when Joseph was in Israel, a young boy in Israel, they did not have a kingdom. Because they did not have a kingdom, his destiny was to be prime minister. If the kingdom he's in has no prime minister level, he has to be shifted to a place where there is.
Amen.
Eh?
Amen.
So some of you, what you're called to do is not in this country.
Amen.
Eh? Or it doesn't even exist here. The law of equivalent advantage. What can bring you down has equal opportunity to bring you up. So take for example, and this is where you need to learn. Take for example, Joseph has a potential to be prime minister, goes through all he does, goes to a land where there is actually a position he's called to be, rises to it, because some people don't rise to it. They just complain in Egypt. Huh? One person's slavery is another person's opportunity to rise. So Joseph is taken into slavery. He's not the first one. Daniel is taken into slavery to rise to prime minister. What's this prime minister thing? Esther, in slavery, to rise to be queen. The law of equivalent advantage. Anything that can bring you down has the opportunity and the right, the equal opportunity to bring you up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone that's leaving is allowing space for someone else to come. Do you know that as long as you are a child of God and someone, can I share this? Someone has either betrayed you, someone has broken your heart, as long as you are a child of God, God always replaces with better. If that person was operating under an evil spirit, they'll look back and they're the ones jealous now. By the way, it's always like that. The law of equivalent advantage. Grab it. Remember it. Say, Lord, this is bringing me down, but man is going to bring me up. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do you know that you can pray, Lord, give me a lot of money. And because the Lord loves you too much. I haven't even finished the statement. Why are you laughing? Because the Lord loves you too much to allow money to corrupt you, he takes you through a stage of poverty. Or allows it. He doesn't take you through it, he allows it. I know a man who one time knelt down to pray. I know him. In school, he was extremely sharp, had the grace to excel in school. But the problem was, his excelling created pride. There's a mere bad news, man. I don't read. Yeah, I'm just like that. So the excelling created a pride. One day a prophet picked him out and said, you're called to be a minister of the Lord. When he discovered his call, he then prayed, Lord, teach me how to be the minister you want me to be. He started failing in class. No matter how much he read, he wasn't doing as he used to. Later, he realizes that pride cannot coexist with ministry. So to make you efficient as a minister, oh my God, I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Are you getting what I'm saying? Huh? Sometimes, and this is the thing, I am certain without a shadow of a doubt that the devil touches circumstances around you, but doesn't touch you, especially in this time of grace. Doesn't touch you unless you allow him to. So he plays around with the circumstance. So some people, I often laugh. Someone comes and says, I haven't paid rent for 3 months. Huh? Then they say, the landlord just keeps coming and saying, how are you? How are you doing? Everything fine? Walks away. You don't see the spirit that has put amnesia on him. Then you go back into your house after praying day and night, Lord, please, please provide rent. He doesn't have to bring the money. He can make someone forget. And there's no time frame to forgetting. Say amen. Now I'm trying to open you up because we seem to put limits to how God operates. Praise the Lord. Lord, I want a good man. Give me a good man. A good man. So a short one comes. Someone is saying, not my portion. The Bible says Zacchaeus was a short man and he was rich. Jesus says, come down that I may dine with you. The law of equivalent advantage. There's also a law called the law of balance. The law of balance means that in order for the glory that is within you to be revealed, you have to go through something that can shape you. I'm certain without a shadow of a doubt that everything that we go through, the most primary reason why certain things, do you know that there are things that come your way? You go away, they keep following you. You go away, they keep following you. No matter where you shift house, it's following you. So for some people, rent just, it's, I don't know what's up with rent. Everywhere you go, you think it's maybe it's this place, you shift house. It's rent. For some people, it's particular people in their lives. This one goes, someone with a similar character comes. There are things that seem to follow you. There are also things that you pray for, but don't leave. And so you pray, you say, where is the Lord? People are testifying, yeah, the thing is not leaving. I've realized with my walk with God that the same God who's divine and can be able within a twinkling of an eye to sort your solution can watch it happen, because one of the most primary things that the Lord works on is character. If you see someone with a character issue, just know they're about to go through a hell of a lot of things. Anyone you know with a character issue, you look at them happy? Eh? Because good things don't shape like bad things. We rejoice in good things, yay! But bad things shape character. And do you know that there are places in the spirit that you cannot go because your character needs to be able to contain them? So he keeps you there. Keeps you there. Keeps you there. You're praying left or right, men of God come and say, by the Spirit, your situation changes. Amen, man of God. You must learn to interpret things rightly. See the finger of God in your situation. Sometimes you misread people. You're passing by someone, she's going through a lot in her mind, and then she happens to jeer while you're passing. And then you develop a cycle of hatred for someone who wasn't even thinking about you. You just imagine. And many people do those things. Just imagine. And so you've created a prison for yourself over something that was totally non-existent. Something as simple as, why did you jeer me? Oh, it wasn't you. I've been going through this. You must interpret things rightly. It's the reason why I learned that one of the most primary things as a minister, even as a child of God, if you want to be effective, you must learn to minister love. Minister love. Not, let me leave it. You must learn to minister love. No matter what I've seen in the spirit about you, I will never treat you differently. And I had to grow to that. Some of you know. Huh? I would pick out a person that hates me badly and say, the Lord loves you. The Lord increases you. You leave all that behind. Because that's just character that needs to be shaped. Praise the Lord. Life has patterns. There are things in your life that are constantly repeating themselves. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? Have you picked something? When someone in your family is sick and they're about to die, and you pray to the Lord or go to a man of God for an intervention, they live 1 year and a half, 2 years, and then they die. God did not fail you. Stop thinking he failed you. When you've been in a job earning peanuts, you come to a man or a woman of God, or you kneel down before God and say, I need a new job. When they fire you, see the finger of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. So you're preparing to go to America, the land of opportunity, as if God lives only in the USA. Huh? So you're preparing to go and do cheyo. By the way, I've had people come to me, sit down and say, man of God, Uganda, ah? They say, man of God, I want you to pray for me. I want to go to the US. Njagakola cheyo. Eh? Kuba cheyo. Then all of a sudden, you pray for, you look and you say, but I see you here. Ah, man of God, see properly. See properly, man of God. See properly. Okay? Interpret the finger of God in your situation. There are times we set timelines. There are times we set timelines for things in our lives. Sometimes we do things too early. And because we do them too early, the result is not as it should be. Sometimes we do things too late. I was explaining that there's a difference between someone who gets, if I gave you a word and I said December, marriage, and you're dating and you get married in January, it's not the same thing. In the end, you get married, but they're not the same. What you go through in January, in December, might not have been there. Huh? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Many people here, the Lord is setting them up, but sometimes you misinterpret situations. Misinterpret them totally. The Lord has just whispered to me, Bia, so let me use this example. Because I've seen someone and they need this example. So, as Christians, a long time ago I saw a man of God, I heard of a man of God, who found a particular person who was in the choir. Huh? Now this is not just congregation, choir. Lord, we proclaim you now. Hmm? In the choir, in a bar somewhere, drinking. So the guy in the bar sees the man of God coming. Then he starts looking for where to put the beer. Now, eh? There's nowhere to put the beer. By shock, the man of God laughs and sees him. Enters the place where he is, orders two more, and gives him. Then walks away. This guy, choir member, is healed from that day onwards. Cannot believe that it's possible for such a thing to happen. Now, I'm not saying, anyway. But we must learn to interpret circumstances rightly. See the finger of God in your situation. And so often when I meet people, when I sit down with people who come with circumstances, you can ramble on and on. But what I'm looking for is God's hand in it. Hmm? That's what I'm looking for. And then we give direction accordingly. The Lord will not leave you without a helper. Hmm? Praise the living God. If a word was given, he watches over the word. I was seated with someone just before I came here, and I was explaining to them that sometimes I receive testimonies from people about something I said that I don't even remember. And they're saying, thank you so much, man of God, surely. Now, at that point, it wasn't me. So I just gave the word, and it came to pass. So sometimes, it's a good thing, by the way, to come back to the source and say thank you so much. Eh? But sometimes, when a person comes to me and says that, I feel like I really haven't done much. Because after I gave you the word, I went and slept. Ate properly, played with my friends, relaxed, you know, enjoyed myself. Sometimes it's like that. There are people who I'm actually personally involved. The Lord tells me this one, don't sleep until. And some of you have really kept me awake, yeah? But then there are those, the Lord just says, you speak a word and relax. Then the person comes back after a period of time and say, really, I'm not part of this. Yes, I was used as a source, but anyway. And the reason why I'm telling you that is because the Lord watches over his word to bring it to. I don't have to watch it. You don't have to keep coming to remind me. You gave me this word. I don't even remember, by the way. 90% of the words I give, I don't remember them. 90%. So I also get shocked. What? Man of God, I got a visa. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord, for making it come to pass. Kuvanga. You think it's easy? Your reputation is at stake. Eh? Praise the Lord. Discern the situation. The same God who has given someone else a job, your neighbor, knows that you don't have one. Knows that you don't have one. Discern the situation. Family members who turned against you because you made a particular decision. One day, like Joseph, you rise to rank and you quash the spirit that's working through them. And they come before you and you say, don't worry, what you meant for bad, the Lord has meant for? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
May money chase you down.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May only your husband chase you down. And may your wife say yes. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You must learn to interpret situations rightly. The day you learn to do that, you know how to respond accordingly. That's how people who have walked with God do it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'll say one final thing. There's someone I know who lost their father. A friend of mine lost their father a couple of years back. And she lost her father. She went through, well, downhill. Loses her father and asks, where was God? Huh? And so at that time, usually the wisdom is that when someone's going through something, don't say anything. Because you can say something off. And even, now that I've touched that, let me also touch. If someone says something against you, if someone has an issue with you, learn to be silent. Silence can't be quoted. Silence cannot be quoted. So this lady goes through this thing, and my job was to simply be there. Sit there and say, pole, pole. Now, when she got over this thing, I sat down with her, and the Lord tells me, you tell her that this life is just a transition. But just because you're still here does not mean you cannot see your father. I thought I had heard badly. It's like, how do I tell someone this? Took me some courage, so I tell her that. A month passed, a month or so, if I remember correctly. She gives me a call and says, I was asleep at night, and my dad walks into the room. The same dad who had passed away. It's not necromancy, yeah? Same dad walks away and says, God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of the living. And not. Then he said, now this was because this was before I understood spiritual things the way I do now. Then he said, anytime we can talk. Eh? When she came back and told me, I said, anytime you can. Anytime you can. Are you sure that was from God? But now I understand that there's a line. Some of you might not see it, but there's a line in the spirit between physical and the spirit realm. When you cross it, you'll be shocked how many things you can encounter. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Learn to discern life rightly. There's something, hold on. The entire message that the Lord was bringing to you is for you to understand that we know God by process, not by Bible study. You don't know God by Bible study. Bible study sets a foundation to prepare you for the process. But you know God experientially and not intellectually. The moment you realize that every mantle and every talent that is upon your life has a specific door that you will be ushered into, and if you're not ready, it can consume you, is the day you realize that this invisible God, this God who you say you serve and you love and you pray to every day, this God knows exactly what he's doing. Especially when he gives you a word. Knows exactly what he's doing. One day, the rent that has been disturbing you, you will be a ministration to those who have that same issue. And I'm not talking in words. You say, I was once there, let me pay your rent. Yeah, those are the things that I want. Eh? I was once there, let me pay your rent. I was telling my partners that when people are getting married, my desire always is to look for an item and sort it out. May that be your portion in Jesus' name. That someday someone will say, I have to pay for application, visa application, I don't have the money. You say, you don't have the money, here it is. Okay, you become a solution. Why? Because you have gone through process and you know what it takes. Praise the Lord. Being an Uber driver, means you know how your future driver of your cars will feel like. Your stream of cars, whether 1, 2, 3, and then you complain, boss, this, he says, I was once there. I was an Uber driver. Huh? See a dream. Speak the dream.
We were ministering, and then you walked in and put us aside. You put the others on the right and the others on the left, and you left me in the middle. You ministered to all the others I was ministering with, and all you did was give me 2 slices of cake. So I woke up and I'm...
Now, what the Spirit says about that dream is this, that there are people who come for the ministration of the prophetic, but the Spirit says that very few have aligned themselves to eat the true substance. And the Lord says that if you will be like how she was in the dream, that you will find and realize that you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. That is the interpretation of that dream, eh? And it's for this season, says the Spirit of the Lord. Eh?
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.